This episode of The Sporkful is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of movies and TV shows on your television, your mobile device, your laptop, you know, anywhere, anytime. Netflix is awesome. Try it out for free right now for 30 days at netflix.com/sporkful. That's netflix.com/sporkful.
This is The Sporkful.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you. Because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely, and because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. A great show for you today. First, just a quick reminder to check out sporkful.com. Connect with me online, facebook.com/sporkful, on Twitter, @TheSporkful, or drop me an email, dan@sporkful.com. It's been freezing cold in so much of the country this past week. Everyone keeps talking about the polar vortex. I thought, you know, I could do hot beverages, but you know what? Today, as is the Sporkful's want, we are going to challenge conventional wisdom. We're going against the grain, which means that today's topic for mastication and rumination is frozen pizza. And joining me for this conversation is one of the leading voices in frozen food appraisal and analysis. He is the man behind Freezer Burns, a long-running and popular web TV show. He's known as the Frozen Food Master, but his birth certificate says his name is Greg Ing. Hey, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
And you are joining me from Raleigh, North Carolina, is that right?
That I am.
All right.
Cold Raleigh, North Carolina.
Cold by your standards, right?
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So you have reviewed over 500 different frozen foods for Freezer Burns. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I just published episode 618.
Wow.
So I'm well over 600 now.
How big is your freezer?
I have a big freezer. I have a 25 cubic foot stand-up freezer in my garage.
Now, is that like a business expense for Freezer
totally.
Burns?
I mean, yeah, it has to be. It has to be. And the reason why is I get two or three shipments from frozen food companies a week. So I get tons of food, whether I, you know, go shopping or not, just for consideration of review.
Wow. And my other general question for you, for the work that you do, how many times have you burnt the roof of your mouth or your tongue?
Every time.
Let's start off, before we have even opened a box of frozen pizza, Let's talk about the packaging and especially the pictures on the box. Now, and we're not going to bother trying to cover every single brand of frozen pizza. I went out and got a sampling. I had Ilio's, Celeste, Stouffer's French Bread Pizza, Tostino's, which I know you have named the best cheap cheese pizza, and one called Greenway, because I thought I'd try to get one that was a little bit more gourmet. I realized after I got home with it that it's actually just A&P store brand organic thing. Like I got impressed because it said on the box imported from Italy. Then I got it home and I looked on the backs and it was like packaged in Mahwah, New Jersey or something. So, but anyway, it said imported from Italy. So those are the ones that I tried. I know there's many others out there. But one thing I noticed in looking at all of them was that the picture on the box didn't usually match up with the reality inside the box.
Sure.
So do you have any secrets, any tips for looking at the box and being able to tell how good the food inside is actually going to be?
Yes and no. There are some pizza brands that let you actually see part of that pizza. There's like maybe a cutout on the outside of the box and you can see some of that. You know, some of the ones that you picked out outside of that Greenway brand are kind of, let's face it, the bottom of the frozen pizza food chain. They were probably under $4 each.
Guilty.
And those are great for convenience. But some of them go even one step further. They don't even come in a box. They're like shrink wrapped. As a rule, I avoid all of those. Anything that's shrink wrapped, that's not in a box, I tend to avoid.
Just because it's a sign of they're just trying to cut corners at every turn.
Well, I'm okay when things are produced in a way to pass that savings on to me, and I'm certainly okay with, you know, saving resources like paper and plastic. But when it comes to those, the reason why, as a rule, I stay away from them is that they pull the shrink wrap so tight that it actually kind of smushes the pizza around the crust area. And you realize that they stack these things, you know, 10, 20 high in a case, and then they package those up in a box and they distribute them around the country. The good part from a pizza standpoint is less packaging. The bad part from a eater standpoint is that you have that outside of the crust that's now super smushed.
Essentially, what you're saying is that the box helps protect the pizza.
Yeah, totally.
Well, protecting pizza is certainly something we can get behind here on the Sporkful. One of the other things I notice about the boxes of these things and the way that these pizzas are depicted, God only knows what they do to these pizzas to make them look the way they look in the photos. But frankly, I'm surprised they don't do more. You know, like whenever you see the cereal commercials, they always say, you know, part of this complete breakfast, there's always like a glass of orange juice and a side of bacon and all these things that aren't even remotely close to what you're getting in the box.
Right.
There's a whole scene. It's like there's a lifestyle that they're selling you. Whereas with the frozen pizzas, really all they do is just make the pizza look a little bit better. And I thought it was hilarious that for every single one of them, in the fine print on the cover of the box, it says serving suggestion. And then, right. then you look at how they're serving it in the picture, and it's like, well, it looks like they just heated it up. That's their serving suggestion. Like, you would have thought if they're going to try to sell you on a serving suggestion, there'd be like, I don't know, some flowers, a glass of wine, you know, like, look at this classy pizza. I mean, you do work in marketing as well. How would you rebrand these boxes of frozen pizza?
Well, you know, it really depends on the price point. There are some really, really good frozen pizzas that tend to be in the $6.50 and up for the pizza. And they tend to spend a little more time on the styling. They set the mood, right? Very few will you find actually have glasses of wine, though. But when you really think about the decision-making process of people who are buying frozen pizzas, they really don't need the stage set. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's really the game is on, or the, you know, people are coming over, or it's on sale. And really, it is 4 cheese or 3 cheese, cheese or pepperoni.
Basically, what you're telling me, Greg, is that I'm out of touch with the average frozen pizza consumer. That here I am, you know, my fancy pants, New York area podcast, and I think, well, why wouldn't you want a glass of wine with your frozen pizza? And you're telling me that most people who are buying frozen pizza, they just want something called a party pizza that looks like there's a party there.
That's right, right. You were expecting way too much out of a 99-cent pizza.
Hey, friends, we'll get back to the frozen pizza conversation in just a minute, but wanted to tell you that Mrs. Sporkful and I are totally obsessed with Orange is the New Black. Great show, available only on Netflix. And I don't just say that because this is a sponsorship message for Netflix. It's because it's a great show. It's really interesting. It's smart. It's funny. It's poignant. It's a show about a sort of upper middle class Brooklyn hipster woman engaged to be married who suddenly finds herself going to prison for something that she did many years earlier in her 20s. And it's based on an actual memoir, a true story. And features some great acting and great roles, and I just can't recommend it highly enough. And you can only watch it if you have Netflix. Get a free trial right now at netflix.com/sporkful. That's netflix.com/sporkful. In a minute, I want to get into the difference between pizzeria pizza and good frozen pizza. But first, let's just talk in general terms. What are the criteria that you use to judge frozen pizza that you wouldn't apply to regular pizza?
The quantity of toppings is the number one. And because there's nothing more disappointing than wanting a pepperoni pizza and you open it up and there's like 3 pepperoni on it.
Well, and that leads me to a question that I've often discussed here on the Sporkful with regard to pizzeria pizza, which is which of the base ingredients is most important to making good pizza. Now, with regular pizza, I have argued that it's the sauce. And my logic there basically is that melted cheese is pretty much always going to be good. Obviously, better cheese can be better. But, like, you know, even if it's just average cheese, if it's melted and it's cheese, I'm probably going to like it. And crust, I mean, even if it's a pizzeria that buys processed crust from a food supplier, you know, as long as they're baking it in-house, it's still going to be pretty good crust if it's fresh baked. Whereas sauce can be bad. So the floor is much lower with sauce, and that's why I think it's the most important thing to be good in regular pizza. But frozen pizza, I'm not sure if it's the same. What are your thoughts on that equation with frozen pizza?
Well, you know, now that you've gone through that rationale, I think I would agree with you because the crust is there is not ever good crust compared to a pizzeria on a frozen pizza. That I've yet to taste it. The cheese, same thing. It's really more quantity of cheese than quality of cheese. But when it comes down to the sauce, some of the cheaper pizzas tend to be really, really sugary, the sauce. The art of having a really sophisticated tasting pizza sauce only comes with some of the real elite brands in the freezer aisle.
What are a couple of the brands that you think are the real elite in this category?
Definitely Palermo's is up there. Palermo's and Freschetta are the two kind of, in my opinion, the gold standard of nationally distributed frozen pizzas.
Now, with regard to which ingredient is the highest priority for frozen pizza, I might actually argue, I mean, I still think maybe sauce is supreme, but I would actually kind of disagree with your crust evaluation. I agree that the crusts in most frozen pizzas are not as good as the fresh ones. Mm-hmm. But in frozen pizza, the crust becomes more important because there's much wider variation. I was struck, the differences in the crust between the Tostino's and the Elio's and the French bread pizza and the Celeste was substantial. I mean, substantially different styles. The crust makes the Tostino's.
Yeah, because it's almost like a layered, it's like a crispy, almost croissant crust.
Yeah.
Right? It's got multiple layers to it.
That's right. It's kind of got some air in it, which adds surface area and crisp. It seems like the kind of thing Taco Bell would invent.
Absolutely. It's very similar to the Mexican pizza crust.
And so, and it works. Like, I took one bite out of that pizza and I thought I was in a bowling alley. Like at a birthday party, it was like I was, you know, 8 years old at a bowling alley birthday party in New Jersey eating that pizza. And I mean that as a compliment. Let's go through the frozen pizza decision tree, as I'll call it. These are, as you're deciding what frozen pizza to buy and how to prepare it, these are the kinds of things you're thinking about. These are the major decisions you have to make. Let's go through each one and discuss the pros and cons of each.
Okay.
First is cheap versus expensive / fancy. Let's assume that on average, the more expensive ones, they're just better. They're better pizzas.
Right.
So that's the obvious argument in favor of the expensive or fancy one.
Right.
Is there another argument in favor of that? Or is that, I mean, what break down that decision beyond the obvious for me?
It really comes down to how much you like cheese and how much you want to supplement. I'll be honest, the best way to eat a frozen pizza is to add a few of your own ingredients. When it comes down to a cheap versus an expensive one, they typically take the same amount to prepare. They typically have the same level of frustration to get out of the box and into the oven. It really comes down to price and where your tolerance is.
I would argue, though, that there's another calculation in the cheap versus expensive / fancy frozen pizza decision, which is that at a certain point, now I get what you're saying is that the sweet spot is sort of the frozen pizza that's still cheaper than pizzeria pizza, but much better than a cheap frozen pizza.
That's right.
Because if you're spending just as much money as it costs to get a pizza delivered to your house, then why are you getting a frozen pizza? I mean, I may be showing my New York area bias. There's probably more pizzerias in closer proximity here than in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. But I have to think that in most areas of the country, you can get a pizza delivered to your house in America today. I mean, is that
sure.
You're in North Carolina. Can you get pizza delivered to your house?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that maybe it never makes sense to buy the fancy frozen pizza. Maybe it's always better to get the cheap frozen pizza because I guess my experiences with the more gourmet frozen pizzas are obviously not as vast as yours. My experience was that they were better than the cheap ones, but still not as good as even a mediocre pizzeria pizza. And what the cheap ones have going for them, and this gets into the next item on the frozen pizza decision tree, which is actual quality versus nostalgia quality.
Oh, yes. Yes, nostalgia plays a huge, huge part in my pizza-making decision.
That's right. So whether I was biting into my Totino's pizza and being brought back to a bowling alley, or my Stouffer's French bread pizza and being brought back to Saturday nights in the Pashman house, my brother and I would have Stouffer's French bread pizza every Saturday night and watch the Golden Girls.
Nice.
Or whether it was the Ilio's, which sort of somehow reminded me of like day camp, I think, and Celeste, which reminded me of college. Right. All of these things made me feel warm and toasty inside. So, I mean, can you really even put a price on that? What role does nostalgia play?
Nostalgia plays a huge role. For me, it was Elio's. I don't know if you remember that Elio's commercial where the little boy is talking about his older brother making it for him. To me, that is Elio's. It came out at the right time. It was cheap. It was horrible pizza. It still is horrible pizza. It is the only pizza that is perforated.
What's wrong with perforations, Greg? That
There's
seems like a scientific advance.
I'm just saying that it is not a good pizza experience when, in the long run. That being said, I'll eat one today, 25 years later, and still it tastes exactly the same.
I gotta push back a little bit, Greg. I disagree with your characterization of these pizzas as horrible. I think that you need to, when you're eating for nostalgia, you need to evaluate it as a different food. And this is kind of one of the core points that I want to get to. This really gets right to the heart of your work on freezer burns, which is that should we even be comparing frozen pizza to pizzeria pizza? And isn't it possible that when you eat frozen pizza, if Ilio's tastes delicious, if it makes you feel good, if Celeste or Stouffer's French bread pizzas make you feel good when you eat them, then how could they be horrible?
That's true. In fact, Ilio's is a perfect example. Out of the 600 plus episodes, I've never reviewed Elio's. The reason why is I'm afraid to review Elio's.
Afraid in what sense?
Afraid that it won't, that when I am in frozen food master phase, being critical of everything, like I am typically in my reviews, that it will uncover something. I will see the warts of the Elio's pizza that I have long masked because of how it made me feel as a kid. So I refuse to even review it.
What if the opposite were to happen? What if you were to review it and be just transported to another time and feel warm and cozy inside, and you gave it the best review you ever gave any food ever?
Well, I mean, I think that brings up a great conceptual question, and that is, like any food reviewer, it's subjective, right? I could be surprised. I'm not willing to take that chance when it comes to Elio's. it's that important to me.
Wow. So what you're basically saying is that you want your memory of Elio's to remain as frozen as Elio's itself. Next up on the frozen pizza decision tree, oven versus microwave. What are your thoughts?
Always oven.
I agree. Do we need to say anything more? I mean, it's obvious, right? I know that a lot of them they come with those sort of silvery looking things that are supposed to help.
Yeah, the
crisping tray. Does that work?
It works enough when you're in a bind. When I was in college, absolutely, because I didn't have an oven, right? I only had a microwave. It was good enough, but when you have the option, it is worth the time.
Right.
Even on a $1.99 pizza,
right,
is worth the time.
I totally agree. And I would add, I was interested to see that on the instructions for the Stouffer's French bread pizza, which takes much longer than the others, that one they want 30 minutes in the oven as compared to most of the rest are 10 to 12.
That's right.
30 minutes is a long time to wait for your pizza if you're hungry now. And so I was interested to see that they offer three options. They offer the microwave option, the oven option, and then the combo.
That's right.
Where you can microwave it for a minute or two, and then you just put it in the oven for 5 minutes.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up. The combo was brilliant on Stouffer's part, I think. Doing that combo cuts some time and you get that nice oven crispness. I always go with the combo method.
Interesting. And what about baking the pizza on a sheet versus straight on the rack?
Always on the rack.
That's right.
Preferably on a pizza stone, if you have it. If you don't have a pizza stone, on the rack. And what I try to do is I actually put a pan underneath the rack and put the pizza on the rack.
That way you catch drippings, but you still get the heat hitting the bottom of the crust to increase crispiness.
Right, exactly.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and I definitely agree with you. Oven, I agree with you straight on the rack. Let's talk a little bit more about toppings.
Okay.
You mentioned, we alluded a little bit earlier to toppings. With fresh pizza, I'm a mushrooms guy. I actually don't love meat on pizza normally because I just feel like it gets too oily and it's just too heavy. I don't want my pizza to be so intensely dense and heavy. But with frozen pizza, I feel like all that fat in the meat there can cover up a lot of other problems. What are your thoughts on toppings?
Well, I am a meat guy. I like, I tend to like the whatever the meat variety is, and then I add like one vegetable, typically green peppers, which some would argue is not really the best vegetable to begin with, just to make me feel a little better. The higher end brands tend to get more creative. So there's ones that you know, they have barbecue chicken pizza, which is really good. California Pizza Kitchen, who claim to have pioneered that particular pizza, they actually have a really good frozen version of that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Greg, but I got to say a couple things in response to that. First of all, anytime you have to take chicken, which is much drier than pepperoni or sausage, and you're going to pre-cook it and then cut it up and freeze it, the chances that it's not going to end up drying out when you reheat that frozen pizza, unless it has been treated with a tremendous number of sort of space age additives, I think
it's the latter.
Okay. All right. So that's, I mean, the truth is, you know, look, the pepperoni and the sausage that are on a lot of these pizzas is probably pretty artificial too, but it doesn't have to be, because there's enough fat in that meat that you could cook it twice and it will still be juicy and delicious. And that's essentially what you're doing. But in the case of chicken, you can't cook it twice without it drying out unless you have done something to it that is probably going to be unpleasant if you know too much about it.
Right.
But I also need to just interject here a little bit off topic, because I have a little bit of a longstanding vendetta against California Pizza Kitchen ever since they served me an order of nachos where the cheese on the nachos was like Cheese Whiz. This was 15 or 20 years ago, so it's not like I hold a grudge or anything. I think it's the only time in my life I ever sent a dish back, because I've waited tables. I'm like a very agreeable restaurant customer.
Right.
But I sent it back because I was like, you didn't put real cheese on the nachos. This is a pizza restaurant. Like, right. I know that you have cheese. Like, there's definitely cheese back there in the kitchen, and yet instead you brought me Cheese Whiz nachos. I mean, come on, you know. So that really upset me. I'm off my soapbox now. Let's talk just a bit about unorthodox approaches to frozen pizza. I know you mentioned earlier that you often like to add your own accoutrements to the frozen pizza. You mentioned green pepper. I know that on Freezer Burns, you do a recurring feature called Plus One, where you add one fresh ingredient to a frozen dish to take it up to another level. What is another one of your plus ones for frozen pizza?
The number one suggestion, and I do this for every frozen pizza, whether it's a cheap 99-cent one or a top-notch one, is I actually brush olive oil around the crust.
Like it's, around the perimeter.
Around the perimeter of the crust. It gives this nice kind of golden crispiness to it. It gives a little bit more flavor. I think that the best overall frozen pizza experience is to find the cheapest, most agreeable crust. So whatever price point that is for you. And then add, supplement some ingredients to it.
I'll throw a couple plus ones at you. Tell me what you think. The first one I would say is pesto.
Oh, I love that.
A little pesto, a teaspoon or two, spread it across or over the top of the whole pizza. Just a thin layer, not a lot, just a little bit. But I think that flavor is going to really take the quality of the pizza to a whole other level.
Absolutely.
The next one I would say, which seems a little silly and obvious, cheese. A lot of these frozen pizzas don't have that much cheese, and the cheese is not great. And I found that what really took it to the next level for me with the higher quality pizzas I've tried was better cheese and variety of cheese. Like you say, the four cheese option, especially when there is a cheese that's got some sharpness, some bite to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Adding cheese is a necessity. What I would just like warn people about is if you add too much cheese, depending on the quality of that crust and the size of that pizza, sometimes that crust just isn't able to hold that much weight. So you got to be really careful taking it out of the oven. I've had a lot of them collapse under me because I've been overly ambitious with extra toppings.
Speaking of which, what does the bottom of your oven look like?
Fortunately, I'm a little OCD in terms of cleaning. So I do a good job. My wife loves that I shoot this show because my kitchen is always clean.
Because when I did my pizza testing, I made a mess in my oven and I set off the smoke alarm. There was a problem, but I'm not as neat as you are. One thing you could try to combat this issue that you're raising of the crust not being able to hold a lot of extra cheese is cook the pizza on the rack for the first few minutes so that you start to crisp the bottom side.
Uh-huh.
Then put it on a cookie sheet.
Sure.
That adds support, but you still have hopefully crisped the bottom a little bit already. And I would recommend that you heat, keep the cookie tray on a rack lower before so that the cookie tray is hot. So you're not midway through putting the hot pizza onto a cold cookie tray. You're putting it onto a hot cookie tray.
That's right.
All right. Well, Greg Ng, also known as the frozen food master, the man behind Freezer Burns, which people can check out at freezerburns.com. On Twitter, you are at Freezer Burns. Is that right?
That's correct.
Greg, thank you so much for sharing your frozen food wisdom with us here, and happy eating.
Dan, thank you so much.
All right, friends, that just about does it for this week. Quick reminder to get your free audiobook, audiblepodcast.com/sporkful, and get your free trial of Netflix at netflix.com/sporkful. Also, connect with us online at sporkful.com through Facebook and Twitter as well. Always love to hear from you and connect with you on the interwebs. I'll be back in 2 weeks with a show on Chinese New Year. Get psyched for that one. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.